stance and doesn't go under during her own time.
The flip point is to that is that, I mean, a lot of people have said that it's just a game of numbers. I mean, all, each of the parties want to win and they're looking for where they can get the most votes.
That is the typical Nigerian attitude. It's always about winning. It's always about money. But there's it is more than the issue of elections. Like Kunle Uthman sent me an article this morning that I'm going to read at 9 o'clock. The human existence is based on faith. You do not joke with people's faith and nationality. And like somebody said on TV, I think it was yesterday, we are Nigeria, but we are not yet Nigerians. And we are trying to handle this. In the midst of, for example, last week when the U.S. Senate were talking about Nigerian Christians being persecuted, whether right or wrong, that's the perception. And I have said that in human existence, perception is the most dangerous element because it is not solid. It is not logical. When it comes to faith, that you cannot bring in logic. All kinds of narratives have shown up. Some people say, the candidate is married to a Christian, all kinds of, he's married to a Christian.
Pastor.
The gentleman himself is competent. Is there no competent Northern Christian? The allusion to the fact that it had happened before, the fact that something has happened before, people have been stealing before, doesn't mean you should go and steal. The fact that things have happened before, apart from looking at it in terms of time, it doesn't make it right. I'm going to be pleading with the APC. If there's any correction that can be made to this, they should make it now. Or else I strongly believe there will be dire consequences. If you continue along this path, the damage itself has been done. You need to see the reactions in the papers already. And then even when you talk about strategy, haven't you now warehoused all the Christian votes to a favored candidate who could be a Christian? Have you thought of that? Have you thought of the fact that even some of these people you are appealing to would rather vote for their brother who is already a presidential candidate than vote for one who is in waiting? Oh, come on.
Well, interestingly, we had a conversation with a few people yesterday. But hey, it's elections, which means that you, at the end of the day, would decide the candidate and the party to vote for. So vote your choice.
It is slightly more than that. Because look, what percentage of the population actually votes? But the ripples of this will go far across.
Yeah, it will.
So it's even more than just saying that. Oh, the ripples. What's the percentage that votes really in reality
but in any country? Everybody in the world takes a bite of that decision.
Yes,
right.
And so Nigeria is being polarized down the line more and more. Let me quickly do the job I'm paid to do here and read some of the reactions that you have. Gbajabi Amila believes that he made a wise decision, understandably so. He would say that Nigeria not try for same faith presidential ticket, Catholic Archbishop. That's Most Reverend Ignatius Kaigama. Choosing Setima, irresponsible, insensitive APC senator. That's the senator, APC senator from Adamawa North, Ishaku Abo. Muslim ticket threatens Nigeria, says Edwin Clark. Shettima's choice has thrown PDP off balance, APC Deputy National Publicity Secretary. It's always about winning. The growth in now has thrown them off balance. Shettima's choice courageous, ex-Kogi Speaker. APC Group launches support group for Tinubu and Shettima. Tinubu Shettima a victory ticket for APC, says Boni, and so on and so forth. Nigerians, is up to you. At 9 o'clock, we'll go further into these issues. And we'll be taking your reactions then. So,
all right, let's see this one. It's the next one. It's also here in the Vanguard newspaper. The president is speaking to ASUU and he says, enough is enough. Otto is enough. He's warning against hurting next generation of Nigerians and says he's eager to exit office. So I'm going to add that on to this headline here in The Punch where he says, I'm eager to go. It's been tough, says Buhari. So we're going to merge the two together.
Yeah, are you sure we are not eager? We're also eager for him to go, I must say. Which one would I
let's start with the ASUU.
Let's start with ASUU.
Yes.
I don't get me on the Domokwa Massa. Do you know the joke about Jomo Kwamasi?
I do.
Yeah, okay.
I still read, and it's not just a Nigerian thing.
Really?
I read something on one of these blogs yesterday. Yeah. Yes. The father did a paternity test, and it's not his.
For those who don't know, Masi is the children's hospital. So sometimes you get a mix-up. Right. Okay, enough is enough, Buhari tells Asu, but enough is enough will also tell his own government. Why can't you sit down with these people within a week, 3-4 days, and sort this problem out? The other day, sometime last week, a former minister of education, who is the current governor, was gloating in all the pages of the newspapers. His son was graduating in a university in the UK. A current governor who feels offended that he wasn't made, wasn't chosen as a vice presidential candidate.
And another governor went to felicitate
himself. Yes, and his family, they were all feeling so happy. His son was graduating in the university in the UK, and that children haven't been to school here for only God knows how long. I don't understand all this.
That's Wike, by the way. Let me help you.
Well, I didn't want to mention his name.
Why? It's in the
Well, I don't want any personal brickbats with anybody, but that's it. That's it. What is it that ASUU has demanded that has been so difficult for the federal government to meet almost about since February now?
February 14.
And you feel comfortable with our students out of school? And so he's saying that, he says that he was speaking from Daura, and he said that he hopes that ASU would sympathize with the people.
Sorry, I'm laughing.
I don't know. He was speaking while receiving some governors, APC governors, legislators, and political leaders. And you know, to be honest with you, let me confess that I've almost even lost focus of the main issue.
So I wanted you to finish. So the two main issues,
yes,
is number one, the 2009 agreement they had in terms of infrastructure, universities, welfare, so, lecturers, and then the payment system.
Yes,
the lecturers want UTAS.
So why is it so difficult for both ASU and the government to sit down and resolve this in 24 hours?
So for the universities and, you know, giving pumping money, the government says they can't afford all of that money because things are bad.
But you can afford to give other professionals. That's part of what I'm going to be discussing with the professional on Friday. Look at what you pay other professionals. You can afford to pay them. You can afford to pay your senators and your House of Reps what you're paying them. But you can't afford to pay lecturers that kind of money. So where is the balance in all this?
Well, I don't know.
It's time we told ourselves some home truths. Growth in any country is predicated on developing the youth and investing in education.
Yeah. Now, health workers are joining the strike soon in solidarity with ASU. So, I'm certain that enough is certainly not enough on this one. Well, the president says he's eager to go, that it's been a tough ride. He says the 7 years in office has been tough, and he's eager to go. This one, he was also speaking regarding ASU. This report here is in the Punch.
Personally, the 7 years of this government has been more than tough for me, both as an individual and as a professional. Let me take professional because that's the point of contact between me and those of you who are listening. It's been so difficult doing this job. In the sense that...
Can say that again.
Yes, in the sense that some of the things actually incense you. You ask yourself, where did this kind of thought process that produced this, where did it come from? In 7 years, it's been very, very difficult. Extremely difficult. There's been a lack of cohesiveness. What you've had is scattered. There's been an aloofness. Sometimes you felt naked, butt naked, in your own country. Okay, so now somebody should come and tell me, what is the relief that you have in sight as we speak for our current economic condition? Either for fuel, for diesel. Diesel has been going on now almost about 2-3 months.
Yeah.
And you forget that diesel is for mass transportation. It's to power plants, for production, name it. The power plants themselves have collapsed. So tell me, can somebody tell me, what is the plan in the interim, in the short run, to alleviate the suffering of our people?
Precisely.
What are we doing about food prices? What has anybody said? So it's been a grueling, terrible experience. And made worse by the fact that, yes, I must admit, we were all sympathetic to the current president, thinking that he will bring about a change. Apart from the fact that everybody thought that Jonathan had messed up and it was like, oh, anything but Jonathan. Yeah. In reality, this is the way we all thought it was going to work out. We thought two things we thought the president was going to be able to handle so well, given his experience, or given what we thought was his experience in 1984. Those of us who are old enough to know what happened then. We thought he'd take care of defense, and we thought he'd take care of corruption. So that we won't waste time, I leave you to judge whether that has been done.
Hmm.
I don't think I need to cite instances. If anything, now corruption currently is off the table. It's no longer a subject for discussion. It's off. It is a given. It has now become part of our DNA. There is nothing anybody can do about it. And remember that corruption is not just about money. This one we have now is political corruption, where you have the political class endlessly thinking of themselves and themselves only. And I like the allusion that I made, that a leader is expected, or leaders are expected, to make sacrifices. If you can have individuals, do you know what it is to put on a uniform and go and put your life on the line? If you can have people doing that, why can our leaders not do the same?
That's a tough call there.
Yes.
That's a tough call.
If I can wear the uniform of my country, go out there to be shot, yeah, and I can do that, why can't you do the same for your ambition? But what you keep hearing in the political terrain, it is me, it's I and I only. Like the reggae guys would say. So we too, I must say that I personally, I can't wait, you know, but I'm now dreading. The morning shows the day. And now dreading of what is going to befall us in 2023.
How?
Day in, day out, I don't know what we're going to have in 2023.
You mean pre-election or after election?
After election, I don't know what my people will be able to produce in 2023. Whether, like they say on the streets, they will have the lever to make sure, I'm using street language, lever here, to make sure that in 2023, we have a new beginning in this country. Because definitely, we can't go on like this. We can't.
We can't. We definitely can't. I think you need to add up this one to this story. It's here in the Punch. How Buhari doused governor's anger in Daura. You might want to read up a few parts of this report.
Yeah, okay. So, I want you to listen carefully to what happened, to this portion of the news, because it is quite significant about what you might, you know, the kind of governance you might have in 2023. And let me read it here. The Punch had on Monday reported that the Northwest governors preferred the Kebbi State governor, Atiku Bagudu, or his Kaduna State governor, Nasiru El-Rifai, because of the voting strength of the zone. Also, now these governors, they are not bothered about Christian Muslim, they just wanted one of their own. But that it was learned that the governors were angry when they heard that Tinubu had picked Shettima. Tinubu had earlier revealed on Sunday that he hadn't even informed Shettima of his decision to pick him as his running mate. This is this last Sunday. At the meeting, the governors expressed their anger over Tinubu's decision to pick Shettima. It was as if he didn't even care about the opinion of the governors, even though he would rely on them for mobilization. Buhari, however, pleaded with them to accept Shettima, since he is a loyal party member, said an aide to one of the governors. We all watched the announcement on television. A source close to a Northwest governor said the governors were all surprised by Tinubu's announcement. And listen to this one. We all watched the announcement on television. Just like every other Nigerian, Tinubu did not discuss this with anyone. He even admitted that he had not informed Shettima of his decision to pick him as running mate. This was not proper at all, and the governors made this known. An associate of Tinubu also told the Punch that Tinubu was not supposed to have made the announcement in that manner. And they quote him, "What happened was just like Tinubu's announcement at the presidential villa in January when he told the media about his intention to contest. Sometimes he makes these announcements in the spur of the moment." Many of us were shocked.
It sounds familiar. I mean, it sounds very similar, rather, to what happened in the PDP. Atiku even set up a committee and then didn't do what they advised. So, at the end of the day, wouldn't the presidential candidates decide who they think they're better off with?
There are pluses and minuses to what I just read.
Mm.
The plus would be that, okay, fine, the gentleman has a mind of his own.
Yeah, makes his own decision.
The minus is that he doesn't care about what people think. Once he's made up his mind, he's going to go ahead and do it.
Hmm.
Whichever works for you is for you to decide.
Let's see this editorial here written in the Nigerian Tribune. The attack on Buhari's convoy. I've glanced through it and it just summarizes the frustrations of the possibility of such a high-level attack.
Yes. I read this for you.
Okay.
Frustration with the evident incapacity of the authorities to protect life and property has led to call for Nigerians to arm themselves. That's how far we've gotten.
Yeah.
Okay. And they talked about the governor who said Nigerians should arm themselves and so on and so forth. And he says that if soldiers kitted by the state have no chance, because they put up an argument against that, how can ordinary citizens without the requisite training? If Nigerians must guarantee their own personal safety, what is the point of the police and the armed forces?
Hmm.
They now add, Nigerians voted for this president on the assurance that he will guarantee the safety of the ordinary citizen. It is entirely President Buhari's fault that he has been remiss and profoundly so. To whom much is given, much is expected.
Reminds me of a video I saw online yesterday. I don't know what date that was. I'm not sure if it's this year or last year, where the president was addressing the press and they asked him about insecurity and he said, well, the problem with insecurity is that we're not producing the thing we need here and that he's going to appeal to the terrorists to have a change of mind. So it went at variance with what the question was like. You know, like, okay, because we're not producing what we need, so we need more young people to go into farming and so he's appealing to the terrorists to reconsider. I mean, I shrink to actually, I'm like, appeal to terrorists to reconsider? Okay. Before we go, we've got 1 minute to address this one. It's in the Nigerian Tribune also. Sickle cell disease can be treated with a common plant study find. I'm so glad that research continues.
Yes.
This would be a breaker, right?
And I like to, you know, a lot of us have this problem at home. And it says that scientists at Aberystwyth University have isolated a chemical in the Alconia cordifolia plant, also known as Christmas bush, which could help relieve the symptoms of the life-threatening and painful disease suffered by 15,000 people in the UK. We have loads of sicklers here.
Mm.
And it talks about it. And it says that one of the ways by which you can take it is you can soak it. I think you can soak it and you can probably blend it. But if you ask your doctor, he'll be able to tell you, because this is proper research that has been done. The name of the plant is called Christmas bush. I've never heard of it.
Myself too.
Never heard of it. But
I read yesterday it's about some form of algae being used to cure some. You know, I just think that we miss out on a lot of blessings that God has given us. A lot of these natural things.
No, we've lost. There was a program Larry King did when there was a tsunami about 30 years ago.
Hmm.
I remember that program like it was today. And they had an imam, everybody, and said, we've lost contact with nature.
With nature.
You didn't know during that tsunami, not one single animal died. Long before the thing erupted, they had gone to the top of the mountain.
They knew.
They saw all the pets and the dogs and the cats. It was the human beings were still swimming.
Hmm.
That got caught up. Very quickly, it says here, you can crush this or blend them, and you can also brew them into a tea. Hmm. Once again, it's called Christmas bush.
Please read up about it extensively. Do your research also and read what work has been done. We need to go now. After the news on the hour, let's get back to talking about the food prices skyrocketing and how you're coping. I'm very particular about the children getting very malnourished. right now. Jimmy, so thank you very much. For
thank you very much.
He's back at 9 on Daily Digest. Make sure you don't miss it. My name is Wemimo Adewuni. I'll see you in a bit.
Uplifting the 99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info.